How are we doing?
Let's turn our Bibles to Luke, chapter 8. So last week, we talked about transitions. Do you guys remember the lesson? So we spoke about transitions, and we talked about when we're in the midst of transitions, how we go to the desert, and God takes us to the desert. And in the desert, who do we meet? The tempter. The tempter is there, and he's speaking into our ears, and in the model that we were creating last week, and from the scriptures, how did we do battle with the tempter? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. And then we went to the second transition that Jesus experienced. And that second transition was the moment he was about to experience separation from the Father on the cross. And how did Jesus go through that transition? Praying the Word of God. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And he prays in that moment. And so last week we talked about what to do in the midst of transition. And I know some of us, whenever we start talking about transition, we're like, we get nervous. We're like, wait, is there something happening? Is there something more than what I know is happening? And I just want you to know, I was referencing the transition out of the pandemic and out of COVID and into it back together like this. So that's what I was referencing. If you read any more into it, I wasn't trying to place it there. So I apologize if I created any insecurity, but that's not what I wanted to do. I want to teach us how to transition and transition well through this time in history. Amen? Amen? Last week we talked about what to do. Today I want to talk about why we should do it. Amen. So in Luke chapter 8, we're gonna turn there, verse 22. As we're getting there, I want to tell you a story. And this story is a fun story for me because it helps me understand some stuff that I learned in school. So there's this young girl, she gets into high school, and she's never really done athletics before, and she decides, I'm gonna do track. And she starts running track. And she's at a school where I guess it's a big deal, and some of the junior Olympic coaches came out and they were watching her. This is her first year running track. And they see her running and they're like, oh my, she's awesome. And so they approach her and they said, hey, would you consider being on the junior Olympic team? And she's like, absolutely. Well, you have to move, though. You're going to have to get homeschooled, and we're going to train you so that when the Junior Olympics comes around, you're going to be ready. Would you be willing to do that? And she goes, absolutely. So she's there. She gets trained. She goes to the Junior Olympics, and she runs and runs her heart out. So she's getting on the plane to go home, and she's wearing her Olympic team jacket. And the stewardess approaches her and says, are you on the Olympic team? And she goes, yes, I am. I am. She goes, what do you do? She goes, I run track. And what race? And she ran a particular race. I don't really remember, so I don't want to share it, but she ran a particular race. And she goes, what place did you come in? And she goes, I came in 15th. And the stewardess was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But this girl would not be moved. She smiled. She goes, I came in 15th. She goes, how many people were running? 16. and the stewardess tried to console her. She goes, no. I was 15 out of 20,000 who tried to get on that team. And the reason I share this story is because this girl had a way of thinking that I think gives us insight into why the Word of God is so important. When I started my training as a clinician, I took one of my first classes was on cognitive behavioral therapy. And in cognitive behavioral therapy, what they say to you is that there is an event, a trigger event. And this trigger event creates a thought. And this thought creates a feeling. And this feeling creates a reaction. Okay, so just so we get that, and you should write this down. You're going to want to reference it later, all right? So an event, trigger event, creates a thought. Yes, see, feeling, that's where I went to, too. I got to write it down. A trigger event creates a thought. A thought creates the feeling, triggers the feeling. The feelings tend to make us respond. So this girl, what was the trigger event for her? The stewardess asking her, what place were you in? And what was the thought she had? I did awesome. I did awesome. I was 15th. And what was her emotion? Joy, elation. And what was her response? How did she react? She reacted with this excitement. And the reason was, and you can't control your feelings because they kind of just come. But what can you control? Your thoughts. You can control your thoughts. Did you know each of us has a little voice in our head? You have a voice in your head, and it speaks to you all the time. And this voice has an identity, kind of. My voice has the voice of my seventh grade coach. Sergeant, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stand up! Toughen up! And his voice is right there. And it's constantly talking to me. I'm like, be quiet. You have a voice. All of us have a voice. And this voice is affected by so many different variables. So many different sources and forces are affecting the voice that is running in your head. It might be your parents. It might be an uncle. It might be a teacher. There is a voice in your head. And it speaks to you loudly. Today, we have many voices. The content that you take on online, the content that you're placing into your mind and hearts, that contributes to the voice that is in your head. So now you have an event, and you have a thought, and that thought is influenced by the voices that are speaking to you. And what you do is you create a story around that particular, those voices. And it leads you to feelings and it leads you to response. And I would say what I said last week, that we as a church are skipping the thought portion and going right to the feeling portion. We're getting triggered, event after event after event. And what we're doing is we're responding like the world. We're responding emotionally. We're putting our hands in our pockets. We're taking our balls and toys and going home. We're acting like the world. Instead of the family of God, instead of the light on the hill, we act like the world. And the reason is because our thoughts have become worldly. The voices that we're listening to and that we're permitting into our minds are that of the world. Now, they dress themselves up like angels of light. That's the challenge. They sound so good. And I sit there sometimes with my wife. I'm like, that sounds really good. Maybe. And then we go to God's word and we're drawn back to it. No, you really do need to forgive that person. You really do. You don't have an option on that one, Saj. You're not allowed to live in your anger. You're not allowed to live in bitterness. That's not permissible for you. You gave that up when you declared lordship. But the thought has to come from somewhere. Now let's jump into Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, and I want to share with you that there are multiple stories that are running in this world. And what we need to do is anchor ourselves as the people of God to God's story. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. Now, who's the catalyst for this time? Who's the one making them go? Jesus. And he fully knows that what's coming? A storm. He knows it's coming. And so some of us, we go through hard times, and this is a story I tell myself. When I go through a hard time, I'm like, God has left me. I have done something bad. That's the story Sajan Sharma tells himself. Whenever challenges come my way, whenever moving trucks don't arrive, I say to myself, Sajan, what have you done wrong? You are such a sinner. And you gotta fight and you gotta work this out so that you can be in God's good graces. That's the voice running in my head. Those are the thoughts. And I have to go, okay, that's there. I'm not gonna go to the feelings part right now. I'm gonna stop right there and I'm gonna replace those thoughts with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is, I love you, Saj. That's what God says to me. I'm with you, Saj. I'm not crossing my arms watching you suffer. I'm holding you at this moment. And once I feel that, I'm like, okay, moving truck, I don't have to live with hating you all. God's got a plan. I'm going to submit. And you can see it. You can feel it. Lisa's like, what are you doing? I'm replacing my thoughts. Replacing my thoughts. Why are you so quiet? Replacing thoughts. That's what I'm doing right now. My thoughts are that when I go somewhere and God sends me to some place, that it should be easy. And if it's not, I'm a problem. I have issues. But that's not what's happening here, is it? Jesus is saying, guys, let's get in the boat. You're going to love this. You're going to love this because I'm about to challenge your story. That's what he's saying. He's the teacher. He's the professor. He's the father. He's the physician. He is walking with them. He is healing them. And he's lifting them up. And he's educating them all at the same time. It's awesome. So it says in verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. That's actually quite an accomplishment, to fall asleep on a boat. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was swamped. And they were in great danger. He hadn't woken up yet. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And then he turns to his disciples. And he goes, where's your faith? What were you thinking? What was the story you were telling yourself? In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who's this dude? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? See, the disciples had a story. What's the story? The story is, this lake is dangerous. It's historically dangerous, and the fishermen knew it. It was renowned to be a place where terrible storms would come. There were mountains that were sitting on the west coast of the lake itself, and the wind would come through and it would amplify as it would go through the mountains, and it would hit the water with such intensity. And so the fishermen knew that this could happen, and the fishermen also knew that when it happened, you often passed. You often died. They had a story. But Jesus had a different one, didn't he? Yeah. He lived a different story, didn't he? See, while they were there and they were in fear, he was asleep because of the story that he had and the story he held on to. My first point today is that the world's story has a lot of truth in it. What is the world's story here? The story is, when I'm on this boat in this lake and there is a storm, we're probably going to die. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of valid facts to back that up. That's the world's story. There's a lot of history to back up the thoughts that I have. Because many times in the past, when something bad happened to me, it was because I messed up. It was because I had fallen short. It was because there was something punitive about the consequences. I have a lot of evidence to demonstrate that authority punishes me when I do something bad. Lots of evidence. And so the story is what I live in. The thoughts are what I live in. And there is great amounts of truth in that story. You have a story. You have a coach. He speaks to you. And the challenge is there's quite a bit of truth in what he's saying. My coach, my story says, you're just not going to be a great basketball player. and I wanted to be. My story tells me I'm not going to be, you know, modeling shampoo anytime soon. There's truth in these stories. There are truths in these stories. But what if I was to tell you there's another story? What if I was to tell you there's a better story? What if I was to tell you there is a greater story than the truths of this world? Let's continue reading. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 and read in verse 40. My first point is the world's story has lots of truth in it. My second point is Jesus has the perfect story. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Did I say Matthew? That's a different time. I'm so sorry. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. So it says in verse 40, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" she asked. They all denied it. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Now, this is what Jesus is offering. There's one story the world is offering. And isn't there great truth in that story? Isn't there just terrible truth in that story? And what Jesus is saying to him, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I can offer you another story. Believe my story. Hold on to my story. Let's walk in my story. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him. And that's what's going to happen when you listen to God's story. When you decide you're going to follow Jesus' story, the world will laugh at you. They will mock you. They will want you to give up his story for their story. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So what do we see here? We see the world's stories colliding with Jesus's. So we see a woman who comes to Jesus, and Jesus is crowded, and she has this faith. She has this belief, and I'm not sure where she got it from, but she thought to herself, if I just touch just the edge of his robe, I'll be healed. I've seen all the doctors. I've gone all over Jerusalem trying to be healed. I haven't been healed for 12 years. For 12 years, the people have ostracized me, have isolated me because I've been bleeding. But if I can touch Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, I'll be healed. Do you see a different story there? She's telling herself a different story. Her feelings are changing and her response is changing. And so she goes, and this is what I love, because when you listen to Jesus, when you turn to Jesus and you follow his story, it goes against the very physics and the very laws of nature here in this world. So, we've just been through a pandemic, all of us, right? And we learned something. What did we learn? Sick people make other people sick. That's what happens. That's what happens. Have you ever wondered why my health didn't make someone with COVID better? Like, why didn't my health have such great power to go into their world and get rid of the bug? Because that's not the way the story is in this fallen, broken, challenging world. But Jesus has a better story. Jesus says, this is the broken world, and this is the only world you've experienced, so you think this is natural. Let me tell you what is natural. Let me tell you that when you touch me, all of it goes away. The physics of this world, the whatever is happening here, the biochemistry that's happening here, it's all undone. It submits to the lordship of Jesus and his story. His story is, my health will make you better. It's not like you're doing anything to make yourself healthy. Just turn to me. Just touch me, is what Jesus is saying. Come to me. And when you do that, a healing occurs. A transformation occurs. Now, I know I'm speaking to a Western audience, so I want to say this. We love our microwaves. We love instant popcorn. And so part of us feels, and part of us are sitting there going, Saja, I did that. I became a Christian. I turned to Jesus. And actually, it just got worse. And I'm not going to deny that that's true. Jesus sends them into the storm. There's something that's happening there. But I want you to see something. I want you to see that when you do hold on to him, he does break the laws of the stories of this world. He does break those laws. His health, his purity, his righteousness is yours. Just for the touching. He enters a home of death. I don't know if you've ever entered a home with death in it. It's in the air. And I believe many of us in this room have. And it's in the air. And he walks in and he is telling the world a different story. He is telling death itself a different story. He's saying, with me, it doesn't have to end here. With me, there is another opportunity, another chance. We can do this. We can do this. The world has a story. That story has great truths in it. I'm not going to deny it. It's great sounding truths. Jesus has the greatest story. The story that trumps all other stories is greater than all other stories. In Jesus' story, in his book, death is the beginning. And we have a new venue to turn to. So I want to ask you guys a question today. What's the story that's running in your head? Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. We don't have to hide. If what we believe in the Word of God is true, if this is true, it has broad enough shoulders to handle our doubts. It has broad enough shoulders to handle our stories. The challenge is we don't take them to the Word of God. We sit in our stories, we sit in our doubts, and we allow them to dominate. So why do we read the Word of God? That was the beginning. That's the point of this lesson. The point of this lesson is to help us to see that the world is telling you a story, and many of us have bought into that story. And I'm calling us out of that story. I'm calling us as a congregation out of that story. We cannot be a light on the hill if we're just like everyone else. And I'm calling us to Jesus' story, the greatest story. And the way we capture that, the way we hear that, the way we grasp that story is through his word. That has been the form of communication he has given us right now. Now, there are others, Holy Spirit, many others, and we'll talk about that later. But right now, we're talking about the word of God. And so I want to ask us, and I want to call us to this truth. We're going to be putting on some videos onto our social media and onto our website that will teach us some basics on how to study the Bible. And for those of us who've been around and you know how to study the Bible, go do what you know. You don't need to watch the videos. But for those of us who may need just a reminder or a gentle push in that direction, please look at the videos. They're intended to give you a first step towards knowing how to practically study the Bible, how to dig in. We're going to have those out. We want you to be able to turn to them, have them as a resource. They're only good, though, if you use it. This is the question that you should be asking, though, right now. And you should be asking this question. And this is where Christianity separates itself from the rest of the religions, the rest of the philosophies, and the rest of the theologies. It is at this point right now. The question you should be asking is why? Why should I believe Jesus' story over all the other stories? Why should I believe his story over my experiences? Why should I believe his stories over my emotion? Why? Turn to Matthew now, and I definitely mean it. Matthew chapter 27. And you're going to see me turn to this a lot because I want this to get into our hearts. Because this was a critical moment in the life of Jesus. This was not the moment where he died and was sent to Hades. That comes a little bit later. This, in my mind, was the moment he was separated from the Father and he lived as a human without that connection, perhaps the moment you and I can most relate to him in. Matthew chapter 27. So the question again that we should be asking is why believe Jesus' story over all the others? From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What is Jesus doing right here? He's literally stepping into your story. He's stepping into the worst parts of your story. He is experiencing torture, abandonment, isolation, humiliation, all in one moment, without the direct connection to the Father. This is the one prayer in Scripture recorded where Jesus does not call God Abba when he prays. Rather, he calls him my God, because that's all he's got right there. Why can we trust Jesus' story? Why should we trust his story? Because he stepped into the full wrath of your story. All the negative stuff that's in your story, he stepped in, he absorbed it. He took it on. He suffered it so you would not have to. So that you would have another story to live by. So that you could, in the face of trials, so that you could, in the moments of doubt, have a lifeline to hold on to. to have him told on. You know he's absorbed the truth of the wicked stories of this world. He's absorbed them all. And you get to live his story. The story of rebirth. The story of renewal. The story of protection. The story of walking with God. You get to live that story. No longer do we need to be enslaved to this world. We can be so much more. Last week, I talked about the what to do when we go through transitions, trials, and challenges. Today, I want to tell you the why. Because when we study God's word, when we dig deep, deep, we learn his story. And then the triggers come. The phone calls come. The doctors come. And the heartbreak comes. And we have different thoughts. And we have different stories that are running through our head because of what Jesus has taught us. We have a different story that we can hold on to. When we as a church learn to make the stories in our head Jesus' stories, we again become the light of the world. We again become the salt. And we give this world a chance. Come, church, let's go into Jesus' story.